This morning's scripture reading is from 2 Timothy. So if you'd open your Bibles or look at your bulletins with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for this church and the ability for us all to gather together. God, we want to thank you for mothers today and all that they are for us, all the sacrifices they make and the love they show and share and the sacrifices. And God, I also just want to pray for those who, you know, this is a challenging day. This is a day for people who, have recent loss or have tough relationships with their mothers and grandmothers and or others who want to be mothers, God, and it's not your will right now. Father, we just pray for understanding and peace and that your will would be known through these things and that we would grow closer to you and know that you're good and that you're constant and that we can rely on you for hope and love. God, thank you so much for all you are and for who you are and being present in our lives. God, we love you. It's your son's name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Just a couple of brief comments and announcements, too. I'm going to speak this morning from God's Word about Mother's Day, and I've never done that. I don't think I've ever done that since our church has been around, but I just felt like there is just so much value in understanding the responsibility that moms have and just how meaningful they are in our lives. And so we're going to spend a few minutes talking about moms this morning from God's Word. But before we do, I got an email this morning from Mission of Hope, which is an organization in Haiti that we have visited many times. I've been there a couple times, and we've sent kids from church, and many people from church have been there. And I invite you to go there if you'd ever like to. You can speak to me or Lockwood, and there is an open invitation to go and partner with Mission of Hope. But I'm going to share one very short story before I share with you a video from Haiti. And that was the first time I went there, and it's kind of a Mother's Day story, but it's not what you think. The first time I went there, I brought Chase. He had his 10th birthday there, I believe. So he was on the young side. And we went out one day, we left Mission of Hope, and we went out to a village and did some sports stuff with kids. And we're in this big truck, and we're driving back to the Mission of Hope property, and we hear banging noise, like bang, 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 and you're like, okay, that's either gunfire or a car's backfiring, like something like that. And so I tell, these are the things you tell your wife after when you get home and you're safe. But I tell Chase, like, okay, we're just going to keep your head down. We're in the back of this big truck. And I look up, and I see a mom with her baby, like strapped. You know how moms strap their babies? No joke. She's got a machete, and she's walking towards the gunfire. And I'm like, where are we? Like, what is? And I started thinking about moms, and moms. Moms have sacrificial love for their kids. And I know that here in the States, that's not something we think about. Moms aren't having machetes and fighting off evil, keeping your babies safe. But there, That was a reality. And while that is not our reality, moms here have to be tough in other ways. Moms have to be very tough. And I think as when you think about your own moms, besides sacrificial love, you think of like moms have to be tough to endure the things of this world, to raise their kids with tender, sweet hearts, but wise minds, wise hearts, wise in how you view life. So I want to share with you this short video from Haiti and just the sweetness of the children of Haiti and moms dealing with the instability of the political climate in Haiti. So I think hopefully this is going to work, Russell. So happy Mother's Day from Haiti.
What did you love about your mom?
I love my mother so much because she loves me too.
Every night she always prays for me.
She's always telling me since I was little, even today, that I have always to put Jesus in everything and every project.
Moi j'aime ma maman parce que elle prend soin, elle me protège, elle me met à l'école.
Ça me fait, elle a fait oui, elle a fait des sorties avec
moi. I love when she's singing. The thing is, she doesn't know all the part of the song. She's always start like la 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 and stop, and la 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 and stop. That's funny, right?
Plus belle maman mon avec ma maman passé.
Mom, you are the best mom ever. You are my superhero.
Bon fête, mama. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
That is so sweet. I spent many years teaching eighth graders at a private school in the Palisades. And one of the things that they would do every year is they would bring in different speakers to help parents and just be equipped and help them navigate life. And so I just want to share with you really quickly. This is on the bulletin. We are organizing a women and moms equipping series in the fall. And the dates are here now, are on the bulletin, but It's after much polling and talking to many moms, we settled on Thursdays from 10:30 to 12:30. And the topic number one will be on technology, social media, and how do we help your kids navigate technology and how it impacts their lives. The second thing is an organization that is called Reality Check. And that is a talk that a woman will come out and will talk about sexuality in your children and healthy boundaries and all these kinds of things. Now, as an eighth grade Bible teacher, I would sit in on this talk, and it was, I'll be honest with you, my boys were really young when I first heard this talk, and it was just so uncomfortable. It was just so, and then you're like, this is so helpful. This is so helpful, and this is so uncomfortable, but like, it's so useful. So we want to help in that area. And then last November 1st, Teresa Robertson, that's my my old principal. She's an educator for 35, 40 years. And and she'll come and speak to the women. So this is going to be great. I have nothing to do with it. It's going to be taught by women and here for women. And whether you're married or unmarried or mom or not, that's here for you. So that's coming in October, so plan ahead now. So this week, as I've been thinking about this passage in Timothy, just to share with you my perspective, I'm thinking this morning just from my own mom and what she had to put up with. I was talking with Matt this morning and asked him about what age did he kind of become a little, well, I'll say for my own life, like a little juvenile delinquent, a little little troublemaker. And you might think I'm nice now, and I'm nice occasionally, but I was a little bit of a troublemaker. I was pretty nice, But behind the scenes, I was always causing problems. So when I think about my mom, I was like, man, she just, the patience of a mom and the wisdom of a mom. One really, this is the wisdom of my mom, right? This is just like, this is the teenage life. I remember experimenting with alcoholic beverages when I was probably 15 or 16. And I called my mom, and right, teenage kid, you're like clearing your throat. You're going to be like, okay, just use your normal voice. Mom, I'm going to watch a movie with my friends, and I'll be a little bit late. She's like, you're drunk. Come home right now. And I was like, that was my mom. There was like just no joking around. My mom, like I just, she was the most loving and tough person that a boy needed. And I am so thankful. So when I'm thinking about that, and then obviously I'm thinking about my wife and with Karen and raising the boys and her commitment to the boys. And then I'm also thinking as a teacher. My background, I spent some time teaching in Indonesia. I spent some time teaching in inner city Los Angeles. And I've spent time teaching in a private school in West LA. So I kind of have a wide background. And I can just say to you, and this is to the moms and then also to the men, husbands, moms, you are so important. Like, you are more important than you know. As a teacher, working with little kids and some of them little hoodlums, little troublemakers, you are so important. And teachers love all the kids. You love the little hoodlums because that was me. But you are so important. You cannot overestimate how important you are. And it is my job and hopefully the job of the men here to be supportive and understanding and to empower the moms to be to be wise and loving parents to their children. I'll just share one story, and I could go on and on. When I worked at an inner city school, it was right around the time of Columbine. And that was a tense time. That was the shooting that happened in Colorado years and years ago. And I was at a school, and it was just mayhem. It was just, there was no learning going on at all. It was just borderline, you're managing chaos. And this one boy would not stop talking in class. And so I just said, hey, you know, whatever his name was, let's calm down, let's stay on task here. He looks at me, he's in the back of the room, looks at me, walks right up to me, right in my face. And and I said, you need to calm down or I'm going to ask you to leave the room. Shorter than me, gets right in my face though, and he's all, you leave. And I'm like, wait, I thought I was the teacher here. He's telling me to leave. And so there is, again, you cannot underestimate the importance of moms. And I would say this, moms, you need to be tough in your love. That will help your kids. As someone who's spent years and years in the classroom teaching kids, one of the most valuable things you can do is remember this, that you are the parent. That tough love is so valuable and important. So this morning, the passage is so interesting. So the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to this young guy named Timothy. He's a young guy. He's a leader in the church. And Paul mentions two people in his life that are foundational for him growing up as a young man and as a leader. And it's his mom and his grandmother. And it says, this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it says this, Paul, writing Timothy, says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So Paul is saying to Timothy, you have this sincere faith, and I see it and continue in it. And I know that this first started with your mom and your grandmother, that this sincere faith. So, number one, we learn this, that for a mom to be healthy, for a mom to be the kind of parent she needs to be, for a grandmother to be the kind of grandmother she needs to be, it starts with a sincere faith. That life, that all of life begins with a sincere faith. And the word sincere means this. It just means without hypocrisy. It means that there's an honesty about life. That there are challenges of life. That we make mistakes. It's not a faith of perfection. It's a faith of honesty without hypocrisy. It means that when we blow it, we can be honest about it. Now, one last video for this morning, and this is, I don't know, I watched this morning, and I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry, but this is a very short video of how we make mistakes. So this is not a how-to, but a how-not-to, but this is just part of life sometimes, okay? So a sincere faith is not a perfect faith. A sincere faith is an honest faith, all right? Here's a mom trying to navigate life and not quite going the right way.
Now it's time to go to school. Come on, Mommy's got to go to work. Come on, let's go. Teal. Sweetheart. I said it already once now. Please turn off the TV. Mommy is very busy today and I can't do this right now, okay? Okay, sweetheart. I need you to listen with your ears and see me with your eyes. Okay, Mommy is busy today. You have to go to school. I need you to get up and turn off that TV. And I know you can do it, okay? Yeah, you can. For real! Teal, I'm serious. Now I'm really getting upset. You need to turn off that TV. You know what? If you do not turn off that TV, I am going to ground you for 3 months. You know what? I'm going to take all your toys and I'm going to give them to the poor. You're never going to school again. Why don't you listen to me? Why doesn't anybody ever listen to me? Teal? If you turn off the TV, I'll buy you a new Lego set.
Ooh, it's a good deal.
So when life gets crazy, when we get pushed to our max, and now we resort to things that don't quite work. And here's the point. Paul, talking about this, he's talking about a faith, as I said before, that is honest. And I think one of the most important things that we can encourage moms and encourage all of us this morning is thinking very carefully about what's important to you, about the priorities of your life. And the honest reality is we cannot do it all. We cannot do it all. Sometimes we think we can, and I came across an article, and it was an article in a study by NBC, and it talked about the push for super moms, who moms that think they can do it all. This one mom, her name is Rachel, hasn't yet perfected the art of French braiding her daughter's hair. She doesn't serve organic free-range chicken for dinner. And her four kids' first day of school, she did not photograph them posing with cute chalkboards listing their ages and heights as some of her friends did. The Kansas City mom feels guilty about it. And the guilt translates into torturing herself with the same self-critical thoughts over and over and over again. You're not a good mom. Your kids don't know that you love them. It's basically just a lot of negativity on a loop tape. And I think one of the things we have to be careful about is thinking through the message of the world that more is better, and a little bit more is even better than best, and we just keep going and we keep piling on things, and then we struggle with guilt and this perceived shortcoming. And the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to Timothy and he mentions this, there is a simplicity to life that the gospel brings. And the simplicity is this, is that you learn to say yes to the important things, to the main things, to the things that really matter in life. And you're okay with saying no to the things that don't matter as much. And so one of the encouraging things that we see here is that Timothy has this example from grandmother to mother and now to Timothy, that he has this model of his mother and grandmother living out this sincere faith. One other aspect of this sincere faith is this, is that moms are open to God's relentless and continual love. The challenge is this, is that moms, just like dads, just like the rest of us, moms have their own parts that are broken and hurting. And for a mom to be sincere in her faith, there needs to be an openness in your heart to God's love for you, for God's grace that he gives to you, for God's acceptance, and to know that it's okay to say no to things, that you cannot do it all. So the sincere faith that Paul is talking about comes from this idea of living with the right priorities. That God gives you the grace, God gives you the strength to say no to the less important things. And then Paul writes towards the end of his book, the same letter that he's writing, and he says this, now talking about living with the right commitment. So he says, live with the right priorities, which is a sincere faith, but also live with the right commitments. And here's what Paul says to Timothy. He says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying this to Timothy, that from the time you were young, your mother and your grandmother taught you God's word, taught you the Old Testament, that that was a part of your life, that that is what prepared Timothy for life. Now, here's what's interesting about the Bible. The Bible is always honest about reality. And why is this so important? Why would Paul write this about Timothy and note, hey, your mom and your grandma taught you Old Testament stories? And the reason why it's so important is if you have your Bible and you look up, this is not in the bulletin, but chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes this, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. So Paul is telling Timothy, your mom and your grandma have taught you God's word to help you navigate life. Why is that so important? Because Paul says this, that there will be cycles of difficulty in life, that there will be hard times in life. Now, I'm not going to go through this list, but I'll just read it. We're not going to spend time working all the way through it. But listen to this list and think about this. Think about raising your kids with tender, sweet hearts, but with wisdom to navigate life. All right? Here are the cycles of life. Paul says this, verse 2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. How do you raise your kids to navigate life? How do you train up young men and young women to deal with the world that's broken? There is so much brokenness of the world in the world that it's uncomfortable for us to speak about. But we must be aware. We must be wise. We must be alert. That's why in Paul's other letter to Timothy, he writes to Timothy and says this, you must train yourself as a soldier. That if you want to be successful in life, if you want to navigate the hard things in life, you must discipline yourself as a soldier. And then he also talks about a farmer, that there are habits in your life, that you are teaching your children habits of godliness. I was thinking about it. Now, and based on the number of kids you have, but when you're a mom, you're basically like committing a kind of a minimum of 25 years of your life towards continual sacrificial love. And if you have more kids than that, and based on how long you let your kids live at home after like college, you know, 25 years, 30 years, that's a long time. You're investing in the lives of your children. And I just believe that it is the most honorable and highest calling that a person can have in life. And there can be a misunderstanding in the world of power and the things of this world. And I just believe and propose to you to consider deeply that the most powerful thing you can do, the most meaningful thing you can do, is shape a human life, to nurture their soul, to have hearts that are pure, to have minds that are thoughtful and wise, to navigate this world. The amount of we are bombarded continually with the abuse of power, of greed, of the dehumanizing of women that has been in the news for the last year. How do we raise young men to honor young women? How do we raise young women to navigate the ugliness of this world? That can be intimidating. That can be challenging. That can be hard because there's so much darkness in the world. And what I'm suggesting to you, that the right commitment for parents is a commitment to God's word, a commitment to teach your children God's word. Jesus says this, that we're to be as innocent as doves. Think about the beautiful morning doves we have here in Southern California. We wake up in the morning and you hear the doves and just this beauty. And then he says to be as wise as a serpent, to navigate the treacherous aspects of life. And Timothy is going to understand from Paul that the most meaningful thing is to understand and teach God's word. And here's what Paul says. He said that from the time you were little, Timothy, your mom and your grandmother taught you God's word. And then he says this, that all scripture is God-breathed. That God is the one who, through his Holy Spirit, spoke out God's word. That's the nature of it, that it's God's living word that will bring life to you. And here's the purpose of it: teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Now, what do those things mean? Teaching is about learning new things about God and life. What an opportunity it is as parents to teach your children new things about life. The book of Proverbs is all about that. The simple wisdom of life. To teach our children the value of speaking the truth. To teach our children to show empathy, to show kindness to other people. To teach our children that other people don't exist for our own profit. We live in a world where people continually use each other for their own good. How do you teach a child to be empathetic and loving and kind? Paul says this, that God's word will teach your child new things about God and life. A second purpose of God's word is to challenge you to live out things you already know. And that is where, if you've been a Christian for a long time and you're coming to church, there's very little that you are learning that's new. But what God's word will do, it will challenge you and ask you hard questions. Are you actually living out what you already know? Knowledge is not the issue. The issue now is your heart. And are you living it out? Are you modeling it for your children? Another purpose is correction. Exposing things that have gone wrong, that have gone sideways in life. And that might mean, it might just mean confession. It might mean that, you know what, as a parent, there might even be a time and place where you say to your son or your daughter and say, you know, I've just made some mistakes here, and I'm going to make a course correction. It is never too late. I said in the beginning that my old boss, Teresa Robertson, will come and speak to the women in early November, I believe. And I'll never forget her speaking to me and saying, Brian, this first-year teacher early on, classroom management begins with setting the course early in the year. You have to do day one. Principals speak this way. You lay down the law. Like, you set boundaries, you set it clearly. If you don't do that, your classroom will be mayhem by the end of September. If you set boundaries and have structure in order, your classroom will be mayhem at the end of May. You can do that because you've got like 1 week of school left. You can handle that. If you set healthy boundaries and raise your kids early, it will have a beautiful benefit. I did not always set good boundaries as a teacher earlier in the year. So here's what you do. You're like, time out to your kids and say, listen, I've made some mistakes as a teacher, and now we're going to course correct. Starting Monday, here's the course correction. Same thing with your children. If you've made a mistake and let things go a little bit too casual, you call a timeout, you have a family meeting, and say, we're doing a course correction, and we're going to make these adjustments. That's what God's word will do. It will teach you new things. It will challenge you. It will do course correction, and it will also help train you in righteousness. It will show you what it means to be a human being, to be complete. We all know in our hearts what we want. We want love. We want compassion. We want understanding. We don't want self-righteousness. We don't want to be criticized. We don't want to be condemned. And God's word will help you as a parent to bring wholeness to your life, to bring completeness to your life, so that you can teach that to your children. I know that you know this, but let me just remind you that children are little sponges. They just copy what you do. You can speak and you can sit down and have all the little family meetings you want, but if your family meetings do not line up with how you live your life, it doesn't matter. And the main point of this part of 2 Timothy is this, that Paul is saying, Timothy, you've had three people in your life that have shaped your life more than anyone else. Your grandmother, your mom, and the Apostle Paul. These are all people that invested in Timothy's life. And I just want to encourage moms that you... Here's a part of motherhood that maybe best captures an aspect of the Christian life, is that moms give and they give and they give and they give and they give with very little recognition. And that is powerful. That is life-changing. And I believe it is my job, our job as men, husbands, to support our wives and to understand how much they take on. It is a tough, tough, thankless job. And you get little moments of recognition, but most of the time of being mothers, you don't. And this is a good reminder for all of us adults who have our moms still living with us to say thank you to them. And that's a something on my list today to talk to my mom. And you think back, it's a picture of the gospel. I know some of you were handfuls, and I was a handful, and our moms were there for us, and they loved us. They don't give up on us. And I want to remind you, moms, don't give up on your kids. Hang there, stay strong, stay the course. It is so worth it. I have seen, as a teacher, I've had so many moms, and honestly, I've wanted to bring these moms in to come and speak. I've seen just moms, they're not perfect at all. In fact, they're so honest about their mistakes, but there's a beauty in that. And when you have the right commitments and the right priorities and you're honest about mistakes and challenges that come your way and you're committed to the gospel and you're committed to Scripture, it's a beautiful life. It's a simple, beautiful life. And that's what we all want. We want a beautiful, simple life. We don't want an ugly, chaotic life. We want a beautiful, simple life. And it's found in the gospel, and it's found in our relationships with each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the picture of motherhood. And Father, I just pray a blessing over all of the moms here this morning for their sacrificial love, their commitment to their children, Father, I pray that if there are any moms here that are hurting and struggling to carry on, I pray that you'd give them a special amount of grace this morning to see how valuable they are, to see the power they have of shaping lives, to make beautiful children. Father, we confess that we all need your grace this morning. We thank you for your unending love, your relentless love for us. Father, I pray that today would be a day of rest and recognition for the moms and the sacrifices they make. We love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.